Welcome to the Celtic Myth Pod Show, bringing the tales and stories of the ancient Celts to your fireside.
Episode 29, There and Back Again. Hello, welcome to the Celtic Myth Pod Show. I'm Gary.
And I'm Ruth. If you want to chat to us, you can do that by using Twitter or on Facebook, MySpace or in our forums. If you'd like to send us some feedback, you can send us an email to garyandruth@celticmythpodshow.com. Or you can use the voice feedback widget on our website.
Yep. Did you realise that this is the last show in the Irish Mythological Cycle series?
Goodness, is it? Goodness, didn't that go fast?
Didn't it just?
Does that mean we're moving on to the Welsh tales in the next episode?
Well, almost. But we'll chat about that in a minute. First, should we have some news and views?
Yes, let's.
On August the 13th to the 16th, there will be an Irish fest in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, in the USA, with some great Celtic music. More details can be found in the show notes.
Funnily enough, there'll also be a Welsh festival taking place between September the 3rd and 6th in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, in the US. If you get time to visit either of these, I'm sure you'll have a lovely time.
Yeah, that sounds great, doesn't it? Why can't we have festivals like that over here?
Yes, I know. We don't have too many, do we?
We don't. Anyway, we'll make sure we play a piece of Irish and a piece of Welsh music in the August holiday special to celebrate these festivals.
And talking of festivals, we've just been to the Andorri de Gorseth conference that took place in the UK, where we listened to some fantastic music and some fairly amazing lectures.
Mm.
The music included the wonderful Dave the Bard, and the lectures included Professor Dr. Roland Rotherham, talking about Arthurian mysteries.
Yeah.
And what an amazing speaker that man is.
He's great, isn't he?
He is.
We'll try and bring you a special report, both on the website and in a festival show. We've got 5 minutes.
Well, yes. We've got so many plans for some wonderful stuff to bring you. I don't know when we're going to find the time.
I don't know, but if it's meant to happen, it will.
That's true. We have to have faith, don't we?
That's right, that's right.
Well, the next normal show will be a summary show, where we'll start to talk to you about the Irish mythological cycle, as you've requested.
That will be interesting.
We can then follow that with an introductory show to the Welsh Mabinogion, before we start on those other tales.
Right.
Now, tell us about the last tale in the series.
Okay then. In the final part of the Saga of Mananun, we hear about two more voyages to Mananun's kingdom. Ligoir, Prince of Connacht, travels to the Happy Plain and refuses to return to the Emerald Isle. Whereas Torg the Blessed travels throughout the realm, sees many wonders, and returns to the green grasses of Erin's hills to tell the tale. Waters of the Loch lapped gently on the shores of Loch Nanan, the Lake of Birds, as a gentle breeze caught the light mist and swirled it into eerie shapes about the seagulls and ducks as they were flapping noisily on the waters. The King of Connacht, Crimorn Cos, was strolling with his son, Ligoir, along the reed-strewn banks, discussing affairs of state, and the warriors of Connacht were close behind. Of a sudden, the mists parted, and they saw a man coming towards them from within the mists and the waters. He had long golden-yellow hair, and it streaming after him. At his belt there was a gold-hilted sword, and at his hand two 5-barbed darts. Across his back, a gold-rimmed shield, and a five-folded crimson cloak about his shoulders. "Be easy, our warriors, and give a welcome to the man that is coming towards us," said Ligoia, who had the best name of all the men of Connacht amongst his people. As the stranger approached, Ligoia turned to him and said, "A welcome to the champion we do not know."
"I am thankful to you all."
"What is it you are come for, and where are you going?"
"My name is Fiachna, son of Betoch, and I am of the men of the Shi. I am come to look for the help of fighting men. This is what ails me. My wife was taken from my pillow and brought away by Jochi, son of Saul. So we fought together, and I killed him, and now she is gone to a brother's son of his, Gol, son of Dolph, king of a people of the Moymel, the Happy Plain. 7 battles I gave him, but they all went against me, and on this very day, there is another to be fought, and I am come to ask for help. And to every one that deserves it, I will give a good reward of gold and of silver for that help."
His voice echoed slightly with the lilt of enchanted memory under the words, as he said,
"The most beautiful of plains is the plain of the two mists. It is not far from here. There is a host of the men of the Shi, full of courage, who are stirring up pools of blood upon it. We have drawn red blood from the bodies of high nobles. Many women are keening them with cries and bitter tears. The men of that host in good order go out ahead of their beautiful king. They march among blue spears, white troops of fighters with curled hair. They scatter the troops of their enemies. They destroy every country they make an attack on. Oh, they are beautiful in battle, a host with high looks, rushing, avenging. It is no wonder they to have such a strength. Every one of them is the son of a king and a queen. Manes of hair they have of the color of gold. Their bodies smooth and comely, their eyes blue and far-seeing, their teeth bright like crystal, and their thin red lips. White shields they have in their hands, with patterns on them of white silver, blue shining swords, red horns set with gold. They are good at killing men in battle, good at song-making, good at chess-playing. The most beautiful of plains is the plain of the two mists. The men of the Shi are stirring up pools of blood on it. It is not far from this place."
"It would be a shameful thing not to give our help to this man." Fiachna, son of Betoch, went down into the lake then, for it was from out of it that he had come, and Ligoia went down into it after him, and 50 fighting men along with him. They saw a strong place before them then, and a company of armed men, and Gol, son of Dolph, at the head of them. "That is well. I and my 50 warriors will go out against this troop."
"I will answer you,"
said Gol, son of Dolph. The 250s attacked one another, and Gol fell. But Ligoia and his 50 escaped with their lives, and they made a great slaughter of their enemies, so that not one of them made his escape. "Where is the woman now?"
"She is within the dun of Moymel, and a troop of armed men keeping guard about it."
"Then let you stop here, and I and my 50 will go there." So he and his men went on to the dun, and Ligoia called out to the men that were about it.
"Your king has got his death. Your best warriors have fallen. Let the woman come on out, and I will give you your own lives."
The men agreed to that, and they led the woman out, with head casting dolefully about the assembled host. She came out and made this complaint.
It is a sorrowful day that swords are reddened for the sake of the dear dead body of Gol, son of Dolv. It was he that loved me. It was himself that I loved. It is little Ligoia cares for that. Weapons were hacked and were split by Gol. And now it is to Fiacna, son of Betork, I must go. But it is Gol, son of Dolv, I loved.
And that complaint got the name of the Lament of the Daughter of Yochi the Dumb. Ligoia went back with her then till he put her hand in Fiachna's hand. As the night deepened, Fiachna's daughter, Deogrena, a tear of the sun, was given to Ligoia as his wife. And 50 other women were betrothed to his 50 fighting men. And they stopped with them there in joy to the end of a year. At the end of that time, Ligoia said, "Let us go and ask news of our own country." So they set out then. And when they got back to Erin, they found a great gathering of the whole of the men of Connachta that were keening them. There were calls of great surprise when the men of Connacht saw them coming. They rose up to meet them and to bid them welcome, but Ligoia called out, "Do not come near us, for it is only to bid you farewell while we are here." But Crimorn, his father, said,
"Do not go from us again. I will give you the sway over the three Connachts with their silver and their gold, their horses and their bridles, and their beautiful women if you will not go from us."
And it is what Ligoia said.
In the place that we are went to, the armies move from kingdom to kingdom. They listen to the sweet sounding music of the Shi. They drink from shining cups. We talk with those we love. It is beer that falls instead of rain. We've brought from the dun of the pleasant plain 30 cauldrons, 30 drinking horns, and we have brought the complaint that was sung by the sea, by the daughter of Yochi the Dumb. There is a wife for every man of the 50. My own wife to me is as beautiful as the tear of the sun. I have become master of a blue sword. I would not give for all your whole kingdom one knight of the Knights of the Shi."
And with that, Ligoia turned from them and went back to the kingdom. And he was made king there along with Fiachna, son of Betoch, and his daughter. And he has not come out of it yet. There were not that many of the mortal Gael that crossed through the vales into Manannan's realm of the ever-living ones, and came back again to stand upon Erin's green shores in safety. One who did was Torg, son of Cian, son of Oliol. And this is the way that happened. It was at the time that Torg was patrolling into the west of Munster, and his two brothers, Ernilach and Johan, went along with him. While he was journeying, Carmen, son of Taborn, who was king of the beautiful country of Freshen that lay to the southeast of the Great Plain, went searching the sea for what he could find just at that time, and 9 of his ships with him. They chose to land at Beira Dovunadas in the west of Munster, where Torg had his camp. And yet the country had no stir in it. So they slipped ashore, and no one took notice of them till all were surrounded, both men and cattle. Torg's wife, Liborn, daughter of Conchobar Abultul of the Red Brows, and his two brothers, and a great many of the people of Munster, were taken by the foreigners and brought away to the coasts of Freshen. And then Carmen took Liborn to be his own wife, and he put hardship on Torg's two brothers. Johan he put to work on a common ferry across a channel of the coast, and Ernilach to cut firing and to keep up the fires for all people. And all the food they got was barley seed and muddy water. As to Torg himself, it was only by his courage and the use of his sword that he made his escape. Oh, but there was great grief and discouragement on him. His wife and his brothers to have been brought away. But he had 40 of his fighting men left that had each killed a man of the foreigners, and they'd captured one of the raiders alive, and this man told them news of the country he came from. When Torg heard that,
He made a plan in his own head, and he gave orders for a curragh to be built that would be fit for a long voyage. Very strong it was, and 40 ox hides on it of hard red leather, and that was after being soaked in bark. And it was well fitted with masts and oars and pitch and everything that was wanting, and they put every sort of meat and drink and of clothes in it that would last them through the length of a year. When all was ready and the curragh out in the tide, Tork said to his people, "Let us set out now on the high sea, looking for our own people that are away from us this long time." They set out then over the stormy, heavy flood, till at last they saw no land before them or behind them, but only hillsides of the great sea. And farther on again they heard the singing of a great flock of unknown birds, and pleasant white-bellied salmon were leaping about the curragh on every side, and seals, very big and dark, were coming after them, breaking through the shining wash of the oars, and great whales after them again, so the young men liked to be looking at them, for they'd never seen the like before. They went on rowing through 20 days and 20 nights, and at the end of that time they got sight of a high land having a smooth coast. When they reached it, they all landed, and they pulled the curragh up the beach and lit their fires, and food was given out to them. And they were not long making an end of that. They made beds for themselves then on the beautiful green grass, and enjoyed their sleep till the rising of the sun on the morrow. Torg rose up then and put on his arms, and went out, and 30 of his men along with him, to search the whole island. They went all through it, but they found no living thing on it, man or beast, but only flocks of sheep. Yet the size of the sheep was past all telling. As big as horses they were, and the whole island was filled with their wool. There was one great flock beyond all the others, and they were all of very big rams. And one of them was the biggest of all. 9 horns he had, and he charged on Torg's warriors, attacking them and butting at them. There was vexation on them then, so they attacked the ram again, and there was a mighty struggle between them. At the first, the ram broke through 5 of their shields, but Torg took his famous spear that there was no escape from, and made a lucky cast at the ram and killed him. So they brought the ram to the curragh and made it ready for the young men to eat. They stopped 3 nights on the island, and every night it was a sheep they had for their food. And they gathered a good share of the wool and put it in the curragh because of the wonder and the beauty of it. After exploring, they found the bones of enormous men on the island. But whether they died of sickness or were killed by the rams, they couldn't tell. They left that island then, and went forward till they found 2 strange islands where there were great flocks of wonderful birds, like blackbirds. Some of them were the size of eagles or of cranes, red with green heads on them, and the eggs they had were blue and pure crimson. And some of the men began eating the eggs, but as they did, feathers began to grow out on their bodies. Other warriors were filled with laughter, and the feathered ones were sore afraid. But after they'd been bathing, the feathers dropped off them again as quickly as they had come. It was the captured raider they had with them that gave them the course up to this time, for had been on the same track before. But now they went on through the length of 6 weeks and never saw land. And he said then, "We are astray on the great ocean that has no boundaries." And then the wind with its sharp voice began to rise, and there was a noise like the tramping of feet in the sea, and it rose up into the great mountains hard to climb, and there was great fear on Torg's people, for they'd never seen the like. But he began to stir them up and arouse them. He bade them to meet the sea like men. "Do bravely, young men of Munster, and pull for your lives against the waves that are rising up and coming at the sides of the curragh." Torg took one side of the curragh, and his men took the other side, and he was able to pull it round against the whole 29 of them, and to bale it out and to keep it dry along with that. Eventually they got a fair wind and managed to put up their sail, so that less water came into the curragh. And after speeding across the water for a time, the sea went down and lay flat and calm. And there were strange birds of many shapes singing around them in every part. They saw land before them then,
with a good coast, and with that, courage and gladness came on them. When they came nearer to the land, they found a beautiful inver, that is a river mouth, with green hills about it, and the bottom of it sandy and as bright as silver, with red speckled salmon in it, and pleasant woods with purple treetops edging the stream.
It is a beautiful country, this is, and it would be happy for him that could always be in it. Let you pull up the ship now and dry it out.
A score of them went forward into the country, and a score stopped to mind the curragh. After all the cold and discouragement and bad weather they had gone through, they should have been cold and hungry. But they felt no wish at all for food or for fire, for the sweet smell of the crimson branches in the place they were come to satisfied them. They went on through the wood, and after a while they came to an apple garden, having red apples in it, and with broad, leafy oak trees, and hazels that were yellow with nuts.
It is a wonder to me to find summer here, while it's winter time in our own country.
It was a delightful place they were in, but they wandered on into another wood. The trees here had very sweet-smelling and round purple berries in them, and every one of them bigger than a man's head. There were beautiful shining birds eating the berries. Strange birds they were, having white bodies and purple heads and golden beaks. And while they were eating the berries, they were singing sweet music that would have put sick men and wounded men into their sleep. Torg and his men went further on again, till they came to a great smooth flowery plain with a dew of honey over it. They could see three steep hills on the plain, each having a very strong dun built at the top of it. And when they got to the nearest hill, they found a white-bodied woman, the most beautiful of the women in the whole world. And it's what she said.
"Your coming is welcome, Torg, son of Kjorn, and there will be food and provision for you as you want it."
"Oh, I'm glad of that welcome. Tell me now, woman of sweet words, what is that royal dun on the hill, having walls of white marble around it?"
"That is the dun of the royal hue of the kings of Erin, from Heremon, son of Mil, to Con of the Hundred Battles, who is the last to go into it."
"So, what is the name of this country?"
"It is Inish Locha, the lake island, and there are two kings over it, Rudroch and Deir Crocker, the sons of Bov."
And then she told Torg the whole story of Erin to the time of the coming of the Sons of the Gael.
"That is well, and you have good knowledge and learning. Tell me now, who is living in that middle dun that has the colour of gold?"
"It's not myself that will tell you that, but you must go on to it yourself, and there you will get the knowledge of it."
And with that she went from them into the dun of white marble. Torg and his men went on then till they came to the middle dun, and there they found a great queen of beautiful shape, and she wearing a golden dress.
"Health to you, Torg."
"I thank you for that."
"It is a long time. Your coming on this journey was foretold."
"What is your name?"
"I am Khazer, the first that ever reached Erin. But since I and the men that were with me came out of that dark, unquiet land, we are living forever in this country."
"Tell me, lady, who is it lives in the dun having a wall of gold about it?"
"That is not hard to tell. Every king and every chief man and every noble person that was in a high place of all those that have power in Erin. It is in that dun beyond they are. Harthalon and Nemeth, Ferbolg and Tuahade."
"It is good knowledge and learning you have."
"Indeed I have good knowledge of the history of the world. This island is the fourth paradise of the world. And as to the others, they are Inish Daleb to the south, and Inish Ekandra to the north, and Adam's paradise in the east of the world."
"Who is there living in the dun with the silver walls?"
"I will not tell you the answer to that, although I do know that answer. You must go to the beautiful hill where it is, and there you will get the knowledge of it."
So they went on then to the third hill, And on the top of the hill was a very beautiful resting place. And two sweethearts were there, a boy and a girl, comely and gentle. Smooth hair they had, shining like gold, and beautiful green clothes of the same sort. Anyone would think them to have had the same father and mother, so like were they. Gold chains they had around their necks, and bands of gold above those again. And Torg spoke to them.
"Oh, bright, comely children, it's a pleasant place you have here."
And they answered him back, and they were praising his courage and his strength and his wisdom, and they gave him their blessing. And this is how the young man was. He had a sweet-smelling apple, having the colour of gold in his hand, and he would eat a third part of it, and with all he would eat, it would never be less. And that was the food that nourished the two of them, and neither age nor sorrow could touch them when once they had tasted it.
"Who are you yourself?"
"I am son to Con of the Hundred Battles."
"Is it Conla you are?"
"I am indeed, and it is this girl of many shapes that brought me here.
I have given him my love and my affection, and it is because of that I brought him to this place, so that we may be looking at one another forever, and beyond that, we have never gone."
"That is a beautiful thing, and a strange thing, and a thing to wonder at. So, who is there in that grand dun with the silver walls?"
"There is no one at all in it."
"What's the reason of that?"
"It is for the kings that are to rule Erin yet, and there would be a place in it for yourself, Torg. And come now till you see it."
The lovers went on to the dun, and it's hardly the green grass was bent under their white feet. Torg and his people went along with them. They came then to the great wonderful house that was ready for the company of the kings. Such a glorious house it was, and anyone would like to have been in it. Walls of white bronze it had, set with crystal and with carbuncles that were shining through the night as well as through the day. Torg looked out from the house then, and he saw to one side of him a great sheltering apple tree, and blossoms, and ripe fruit on it.
"What is that apple tree beyond?"
"It is the fruit of that tree. It's the food for the host in this house. It was an apple from that apple tree brought Conla here to me. A good tree it is, with white blossom branches, and its golden apples that would satisfy the whole house."
And then Conla and the young girl left them, and they saw coming towards them a troop of beautiful women. And there was one amongst them was most beautiful of all. And when she was come to them, she said,
"A welcome to you, Torg."
"I thank you for that welcome. And tell me, who are you yourself?"
"I am Clona of the Fair Hair, daughter of Gaborn, son of Treon of the Twaha de Danann, a sweetheart of Gaborn of the Curling Hair. And it is from me Clona's wave on the coast of Munster got its name. I am a long time now in this island, and it is the apples of that tree you saw that we use for food."
The Torg was well pleased to be listening to her talk, and after a while he said, "It's best for us now to go look for our own people."
"We would be well pleased if you stopped here longer with us."
And while she was saying those words, they saw three beautiful birds coming to them. One of them blue and his head crimson, one crimson and his head green, and the third was speckled and his head the colour of gold. And they lit on the great apple tree, and every bird of them ate an apple, and they sang sweet music then that would put sick men into their sleep.
"Those birds will go with you. They will give you guidance on your way, and they will make music for you, so that there will be neither sorrow nor sadness on you, by land or by sea, till you come to Erin. And take away this beautiful green cup with you, for there is power in it. And if you do but pour water into it, it will be turned into wine on the moment. But listen well now. Do not let it out of your hand, but keep it with you. For at whatever time it will escape from you, your death will not be far away."
and you will meet your death in the green valley at the side of the Boyne. And so it is a wandering wild deer that will give you a wound. And after that, it is strangers that will put an end to you. And I myself will bury your body, and there will be a hill over it. And the name it will get is Croyer Eshu.
They went out of the Shining House then, and Clona of the Fair Hair went with them to the place they had left their ship. And she bade their comrades a kindly welcome. She asked them how long they'd been in that country.
Seems to us we've been in it but one day only.
You have been in it through the whole length of a year. And through all that time you've needed neither food nor drink. However long you would stop here, cold or hunger would never come to you.
Oh, it'd be a good thing to live this way always.
It's best for us to go on and to look for our people. We must leave this country, although it is displeasing to us to leave it.
And then Clona and Torg bade farewell to one another, and she gave her blessing to him and his people. They set out then over the ridges of the sea, and as the golden warmth of that country faded from them, they were downhearted, until the birds began to sing for them, and then their courage rose up, and they were glad and light-hearted. And when they looked back, they could not see the island they had come from, because of a druid mist that had risen and hidden it from view. And then by following the birds, they came to the country of Freshen, and they were in a deep sleep throughout the whole voyage. After that, they awoke, and fiercely they attacked the foreigners and got the better of them. Torg killed Corman, the king, after a hard fight, and Liman, his wife, made no delay, and came to meet her husband and her sweetheart. Oh, it is glad she was to see him. And after they'd rested a while, they faced the sea again. Thorg and his wife Liban and his two brothers, and a great many other treasures along with them. They sailed away until they came at last safely home to Erin. Strange and wondrous it is that our great tale started so long ago with the arrival of the great Tuatha De Danann from their four island homes onto the verdant shores of sacred Erin. Ends with Torg the Blessed journeying between the now sundered worlds to visit four wondrous islands in Manannan's realm behind the Veil of Form. The realm beyond, where castles of marble, gold and silver dwell in the ancient past, throughout all time and far into the distant future, where kings and nobles rest and await the return of their long-lost distant kin, when all of the sundered children of Danu, both mortal and fey, can feast and dance to the voice of himself as he sings the song of creation. In our next episode, we start to discuss some of the Irish mythological cycle.
Fascinating stuff. Maybe we can find out what we've all learned.
Well, that's a good idea. If any of you would like to send us an email or voice feedback with your thoughts about what we've all learned in the last 28 episodes covering the mythological cycle, we'll try and include your thoughts as well as ours in a special summary show.
The next show will be the Lunasa Holiday Special.
Oh, it will, won't it? It's come round quick.
It has, yes. So if you could get those emails and voice feedback to us by the 15th of August, we'll have time to build the show.
Brilliant. Should we have some listener feedback?
Okay.
This time we're lucky enough to have some audio feedback to play you.
Thank you so much. We love getting audio feedback. It means that we get to hear your voices.
Well, this message is from Ancestral Celt, a very dear friend of ours who has supported us right from the beginning.
Yes, let's listen.
Hi, Ruth. Hi, Gary. It's Ancestral Celt here. I just wanted to thank you both for a wonderful summer special edition of the Celtic Myth Pod Show. I thoroughly enjoyed it, even on the second listen. I had to listen to it twice because last night when I was listening to it, I fell asleep during the reading from The Mark of a Druid. Of course, the pod show was as wonderful as ever. And I particularly liked I Forgot, by the witchy godmother, and if you can get some more of her stories to read out, I'd really love to hear them in the specials that you put out. I also enjoyed very much the music of Julian LaDarge, so much so that I'm downloading her album from iTunes. So thanks again for yet another great recommendation. It's always great to hear different artists that you wouldn't normally come across or encounter, even over the internet. So if you've got any more like that, I'd love to hear them in the next edition. Once again, thanks very much, and I look forward to the next show. Hopefully there won't be any hitches or delays, but it's always worth the wait. Cheers.
Hi, AC. How wonderful to hear from you.
Hi, AC. It is lovely to hear your voice.
We're so pleased you're enjoying the show, and the summer special in particular.
I had to laugh when I heard you say that you fell asleep during the Mark of a Druid story. Do you know, over the years, I've been told so many times that my voice sends people to sleep. Do you know, I can't read to Ruthie in bed at night because of it.
Yes, but it's a good cure for insomnia. A couple of pages and I'm fast asleep.
I'm really glad you liked the Witchy Godmother story. I forgot.
Yes, it was super, wasn't it? We've received an enormous amount of emails saying how much people enjoyed her story. So we hope very much that she sends us another one that we can read to you all.
And Julian LaDarge is great, isn't she? We certainly will keep our eyes and ears open for some great music.
Yes, and we will do our best to avoid hitches and delays, but you know how life goes, and the best laid plans this year just haven't worked for us, have they?
No, that is true. And you do know that we'll always be back with you. Thank you so much for your lovely message, AC.
Yes, thank you very much. It was lovely to hear your voice. Now then, shall we play a promo?
Let's. Well, I found something that could be rather different and rather special. There is a company called Pendant Audio that make fan fiction podcasts about superheroes. You know, Batman, Superman and so on.
Yes. I know you like all that stuff, but what's that got to do with us?
Well, they're releasing a new series called Genesis Avalon that's about a new heroine that is the last priestess of Avalon, whose job it is to maintain the balance between good and evil.
That sounds interesting.
Their shows are all audio dramas, and they're very well made. Anyway, have a listen to the promo.
It's coming.
You are the last priestess of Avalon. Your destiny is to protect the people on this earth.
The balance between good and evil has been shifted.
I love the nighttime. Don't you? No one pays attention to small things, like screams.
And there is only one person who stands in their way. Arrival of the first original Pendant superhero series, Genesis Avalon. Follow Jaina Masterson's journey as she goes from ordinary girl to the last priestess of Avalon. Will Jaina be strong enough to keep the balance between good and evil? You'll have to find out. Genesis Avalon. A Pendant original. Coming September 28th, 2009. Only at pendantaudio.com.
Not this time, Avalon!
Cardinals!
Alright, now that does sound fun. Celtic mythology and superheroes. A good mix.
I think so. If you think about it, to the ancient Celts, Cathulain would have been what to us is a superhero. I personally think there's a basic human need for heroes in our stories to teach us the highest ideals.
That's true, without a doubt. Stories are absolutely necessary to us all. And the most ancient stories generally involve heroes. In fact, many of the modern ones do too, don't they?
Yeah, very true.
They just don't have superpowers, but they often do things that are death-defying.
Yes,
so,
yes.
You know, they still come under the heading heroes.
Yeah, although I think with modern heroes, they're often more anti-heroes. You can't necessarily take their actions as teaching you the highest ideals, can you?
No, that's true. They have definitely evolved.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, that's enough of you rabbiting.
Me?
Yes, you. We've actually come to the end of the show.
Oh, that's a shame.
It is. So until next time, which will be the Lunasa holiday special, we'd like to say...
Slongavoil.
You've been listening to the Celtic Myth Pod Show, available from CelticMythPodShow.com. We hope you've enjoyed the show and will stay tuned for the next episode. You can send us a quick email or voice feedback by emailing either Gary, that's G-A-R-Y, or Ruth, R-U-T-H, at CelticMythPodShow.com. Or you can chat to us in the forums on our website. The show notes for this episode can also be found on the website. We'd like to say a special thank you to Coulan's Hounds, who provided us with the theme music for our show. You heard Haghole at the beginning and are listening to The Skylark now. You can find out more about this foot-stomping band at www.sfhounds.com. And thanks again to Diane Arkinstone and Kim Robertson, whose music has been used for some of the incidental music in this podcast. You'll find links to their websites in our show notes.